Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Turn up your radio. Do not adjust the dial because the Commanders won a damn game.
Yeah.
Jeff just came in here complaining about stuff. We'll get to all that, Jeffrey. I'm in that locker room after every game.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been in a winning locker room in 10 months. It was New England last November.
Long time.
Yo, they hadn't won a game in almost a calendar year. They hadn't won an NFC East game in two calendar years.
Yeah.
They hadn't beaten the Giants since week 17 of the 21 season. So, listen, I get it. There's a lot to discuss. I don't know what happens if the Giants have a kicker. There are serious defensive problems.
Well, guess what? They didn't have a kicker,
right.
So who cares?
Like, there are serious defensive problems that, frankly, I just don't think are getting fixed. But they won.
Yeah, a lot of coaches say it's hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's true. And when you get one, you get one. Because let's be real, there are a lot of teams that were and won last week, and everybody was talking a lot about them. They lost this week. You know what I mean? We lost last week, and then we come back and you get a victory. So all that matters. And I think the ultimate thing is there were bad things, but there were a lot of good things in the game. You have to give credit for it.
I think the good things – we're starting with the good things, damn it. And – Brian, last week you and I don't know if we disagreed, but I was like, yeah, I thought Jaden was good, but I just know he can do a lot more. And I think the first half yesterday, he was getting his ass kicked a little bit. I think he was a little quick to run. I think the O-line was getting beat. He took four sacks in that first half. Obviously, the big shot to the ribs on the scramble. Had to come out for a play. Got the wind knocked out of him. It happens.
Yep. And the guy led with his helmet. The referee could have called that, as he could have called the one that was out of bounds.
The one out of bounds was so egregious. So I don't know how on earth that didn't
this
happen.
This NFL that say that they are so concerned about the health of players, they lie.
What is astounding to me, particularly about the one on the sideline, he was 2 feet out of bounds. Yeah. Like, he was a yard out of bounds. They protect quarterbacks so much that I thought that was just a absolute joke to not call that. What stood out to me most about Jaden, he completed 80% of his passes, which is pretty damn good. But, dude, I think the second half of that game is when we really got our first glimpse of who I think Jaden is as an NFL passer. And that guy is really freaking good.
I mean, he's good. And now the thing, like, I watched the game yesterday, and my whole thing is, we have to let him be who he is.
He's going to learn. Like, it's happening in real time.
It's happening in real time. But I think everything he does needs not be scrutinized. Because I'm going to be honest. You can say what you want. When he's on the football field, he's going to do what he thinks it takes to win the game. And that is something you never want to temper that's in somebody. Like, the one play he was running, and, you know, you want him to get down, but, hell, he shit, boom, boom. He got the first. Well, they called him short after they went back and looked at it. But he didn't take a hit. He adjusted. And
the one where he got out of bounds.
No, the one where he had split the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
When one guy ran past him, he split him. But, dude.
I'm not even in the scrutinizing of the running
right now. No, I'm not saying. It's not you. It's like I hear every time he runs a play, I'm hearing people. And I want to scream. And if I had hair, I'd pull it out and go, it is tackle football, people. What the hell you expect him to be playing touch while everybody else playing tackle? Because eventually you're getting hit. You know, and if you look at the lick, he was being hit by one guy. That guy came in, spear, crown of his helmet. Exactly how they, because they will call that. They didn't call it. So, you know, people will take cheap shots and do things of that nature, but you got to let people play football.
What I care about most is, one, I mean, he's repeatedly shown a level of toughness that I don't think you see from a lot of quarterbacks, especially a lot of rookie quarterbacks. He's shown the competitiveness, the desire, all those things. But frankly, I thought he already had all that. What I think he showed us yesterday in the second half of that game, that he can beat you from the pocket. And I think that's by far the most important thing for NFL quarterbacks. You don't want to change anything. I'm not trying to stop him running anything. The second half of that game, he was 12 of 16 for a buck 40. He hit the, like, where, I listened to the conversation and see on Twitter, and people are worried about, like, Jamin Davis. Take a second. Take a deep breath. You had a rookie quarterback in his second ever NFL game engineer a two-minute drill drive for a win.
Yeah.
Who's the last, like, who's the last quarterback in Washington you felt comfortable, yo, he's going to take us down the field and get a win?
Not often.
The throw to Noah Brown on an in-breaking route, maybe, I don't know.
That was a bang eight.
It's
called a bang eight where he's going up the field. Five hard step, boom, inside, ball's there.
Dude, that throw is so good and so accurate. Noah Brown, by the way, already gives him something different. Mm-hmm. Just when he's running around out there, he's big. He's long. It looks different than everybody else. If your takeaway from yesterday with Jaden or yesterday with the team isn't, oh, my God, this quarterback gives Washington a chance every time they step on the field, then I feel like we're watching something different. And I feel like that is so far and away the most important lesson from yesterday. And not that in Tampa he was bad, he was pretty good. And not that in the first half yesterday he was bad. They were still moving the football. But in the second half, you start to see, at least in my eyes, you started to see the passer that Daniels proved to be at LSU that absolutely torched everybody. And as that dude grows more comfortable, that was his fourth half of NFL football. Like, this is happening at such an accelerated timeline.
What did David Aldridge say? David Aldridge said if he can do one thing per game to show you why he was drafted at the second pick, you got you something. He's done more than one thing per game. That drive was engineered perfectly. And the thing of it is, there are going to be times where your quarterback will be getting their butt kicked. We watched, I watched Cincinnati and Kansas City yesterday. Two that we consider damn good. They were getting their ass kicked at certain points
in
the game. Did
you watch Caleb Williams last night?
I watched him. Woo. But I watched a lot of quarterbacks that are extremely good and established. They were losing at one point, but what did Pat Mahomes do down the stretch to get him down? Got him in a position, get a guy a chance to kick a field goal. You have to have that little knack in you, that type of nerve or whatever in you, or have that about you to be able to go down and do those things. He does. And I just think that it's like we get people sometimes and we get to a point where we want them to be perfect. Nobody's perfect out there. You know, I look at a lot of games yesterday where teams were perfect last week, look like garbage this week.
The Ravens are 0-2.
That's what I'm saying.
The Ravens just lost to the Raiders in a game. The four of us sat here on Friday afternoon and said, there's no way Baltimore possibly loses,
right?
Yeah,
we said that.
Right. There are so many talking points, and we got 4 hours. We're going to talk about all of it, and I'm really excited. Joe Theismann will join us at 11 to continue kind of – he's been gracious enough to talk to us about what he's seen from Jaden week after week. I think you saw – there were two adjustments made yesterday at halftime. And I know that the lack of adjustments with the previous staff drove you crazy, Brian.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two adjustments made yesterday at halftime. I think defensively, Mike Davis can't play. And there's a reason he didn't play in the first game. Mm-hmm. And then they had him on the field yesterday, and he got absolutely torched. That last drive the Giants had before halftime where it was just the Malik.
They were going at him.
It was the Malik Nabers show. They just put a target on there and said, let's go get him. Then they benched him. They moved BSJ over to Nabers. You get Noah I on the field. That helped. Nabers is a stud. He's still going to get his, but that helped. BSJ played a really good game, slowed that down. That's a defensive adjustment that helped. I like that. Clearly, there was an adjustment also with Daniels, whether it was just his own internal clock, whether it was coaching, whether Cliff sat him down or Tavita or Brian Johnson or one of the eight other former quarterbacks mm-hmm. they have there to help him. Clearly, something adjusted because the ball started coming out faster. He still ran. He was still an effective runner, especially late on that drive when he took the keeper to the edge, got out of bounds before
they kicked
the field goal.
When he was getting ready, I thought he was going out of bounds, but
I thought he was thinking about cutting it out. Yeah.
Dude, he's smooth, man.
You don't take away the running, period. You do not. But he was so good in the pocket. And if you go back to LSU, you go back to his best games, he's winning from the pocket with the quick release. And, dude, if I don't even know that it's if. Frankly, I have had steadfast belief in this young man to be a stud NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. When that fully develops, when that develops to the NFL stage, you got something. You got something serious.
Well, I think you
and
have
maybe
something.
It's happening.
I think the ultimate thing is, the thing you got to realize, though, Jay, you could go into a game wanting to do that the whole game. The other defenses, the defense get paid too. Those coaches over there make you have to do some things, make try to move you off your spot. He has it in him, and if he can do it for 2-3 quarters a game, that's cool. Because I was watching Pat last night. They were giving Pat fits. They were giving Joe fits late. They gave Pat fits early. Down the stretch, Pat came up. I would love to see, like, when you go into a game, normally it's like a boxing match. You're filling each other out to see what you can get, what you can't. And then once you figure it out, you go for it. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. And he's a little early in his career to expect him to come out of the box already knowing.
Totally.
You know?
That's why I think yesterday was such an incredible sign of progress to be that dialed in. I mean, dude, if you just listen, you need touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah,
there are some warts to this win, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just looking at the quarterback and you're anything but wildly impressed, we're breathing different air.
I'm like this.
We need
touchdowns, but you know what? We found a kicker. He made more kicks in one game than all the other four before him made together, probably.
Let's
just be real about it.
Yo, how about Austin Seibert, who I believe is from Illinois and went to college at Oklahoma? Like, he came out in a Dodgers hat, a blue Dodgers hat with a Death Row Records t-shirt on, and I was like, is this dude a Crip? Like, do I need to adjust what I'm seeing here?
Nah, he said he just liked the t-shirt. He didn't even know what it was about.
I asked him. We all kind of asked him as he was leaving, but it was a vibe. It was you yell at me about what I wore when we went out in L.A. that night. Like, I don't know that Austin can wear a blue Dodgers hat with a Death Row t-shirt and walk around.
At least he did it in D.C. You did it in L.A. What the hell? But he's saying
Dave
Butts, senior, or somebody's his agent?
Wait, what?
He told me this yesterday. His agent. Dad was Dave Butts Sr. or something, he said.
Wow.
Something about that on the line. They're from the same hometown and everything else.
Okay. I'll try to find out what that is.
Yeah.
Seibert, I don't know the answer to this, but is 21 points like a record?
It's a record for the team.
For scoring without a touchdown?
Yeah,
I know that the seven field goals is a record.
It happened another time, I think, in a game. There was a second time a team has given up touchdowns and have not given up a touchdown. They scored a touchdown and lost. That's the second time that happened. Another kicker kicked 8, but it was the 11th time in NFL history that a kicker had kicked 7 field goals or more.
I mean, for Washington specifically, and I got this from—
The record was 5, I think, at first. Chip Low Miller.
Well, and also Hopkins had a 5-kick game.
Yeah.
Charlie Mulet does PR and provides stats for the Commanders, does a great job. It was it was the 7th time the Skins had won a game without scoring a touchdown in franchise history. Now, if I had to guess, a bunch of those are back in like 1936 or something when people were winning 2-0. So it's the first, it's the 7th time they've done it, winning a game without a touchdown. I think you were on the field for one of those.
The 91 game, he kicked 5 field goals over 50 yards.
No. What when was the 3-0 Jets game?
The 3-0 Jets game? That was a horrible game.
But you guys won, right?
Yeah, it was. No, I don't think we won it.
But
we
you
lost that
lose 3-0 yeah. Jets. Oh, all right. Forgive me then.
Yeah. We beat, what's called, I think, 15, whatever it was. We beat Minnesota when Chip kicked 5.
Okay. And he was from Minnesota, right? Yeah. That had to feel kind of good.
But all 5 were over 50.
That's bombs. that's like the Houston kicker. That dude just hits bombs.
Yeah.
Last time Washington won a game without scoring a touchdown was a 9-7 win over the Rams in 2009.
Okay.
Let's be really clear. Nobody's looking for wins without touchdowns. Like that. Nobody's pretending that's the goal. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat
it. It's not the goal, but you know what?
Awesome.
If it happened, I'm damn sure not going to be mad at it.
But you know what? They repeatedly, I think 5 penalties inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that
on their offensive line.
That really, really annoyed me. If you had seen me when that was going on, my face.
Where'd
was
you watch the game?
I was in the suite, and like you know, I'm
like
I'm
the big one.
Yeah, with all the former players stuff. Okay. But I wasn't talking to anybody. I was that frustrated. I was pissed because I'm like, you get down here and you keep shooting yourself in the foot.
Sure. But for me, we're going to get into all of it.
Once the game was over, I was completely different because I'm up here saying, okay, how is this show going to be? Because they had done so much wrong.
Oh, your post-game show?
Yeah, and then when they end up winning it, it changed the whole mindset.
Sure.
You go to a different approach.
Sure.
You do the John Thompson. Now, you're gonna do you're going to critique, but you're going to do it in a calmer manner.
Dude, if you're a Giants fan and – you lose that game yesterday, and they knew the kicker had issues coming in.
So he was hurt coming in. So that's why that first kick he kicked was a snap hook galore.
Daboll's thing was he had a groin issue. He got hurt either ripping or pulling his hammy trying to chase down Eckler. He's like, we didn't plan on him chasing down Eckler. And the you know how the New York media is. They were killing him about not having an extra kicker up. But if – I don't know if you saw
it. Most punters can kick.
It was shocking how bad their punter was at the one extra point they rolled him out for. But I don't know if you saw Daboll at the end of that game.
When he slammed his head. Yeah.
I feel like the Giants believe they gave one away. It's pretty rare to lose to a team when they can't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But I think big picture, if you want to know what to focus on, listen, the Washington defense is a
what you need to focus on is tackling. I watched guy after guy yesterday. I don't understand the new, and this is not just Washington, this is the NFL. Guys want to make tackles while still standing up. Tackling means you go to the damn ground, leave your feet, do something. But all of this just thinking you're going to just push somebody down, this is not football. They got to wrap up and go to the damn ground, point blank.
The biggest message I could give, and he's a young quarterback, he's got to figure some stuff out, you'd like to take less shots, you worry about the contact over the course of time, but he had 16 carries last week. I told you it'd be fewer this week just because Tampa doesn't blitz as much. It's 10 this week. Like, it's going to continue to evolve, and I think the way he passed in the second half is by far the absolute most important outcome of the home opener against the Giants. But just think about the efficiency. Brian, when's the last time we saw efficient offense in Washington?
Not often.
B, they put up over 400. They put up 425 yards in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were 50% on third down, 7-14. And a lot of those were kind of jammed up third downs because they had gotten dumb penalties. 10 penalties for 69 yards. Say you cut that by 40%, and that ends up being 6 penalties for 45 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably putting up 30.
Yeah.
Like, when Jaden is on the field, this team has a chance to score damn near every time he touches the ball. That is wildly different. That is what should be your big takeaway.